Hello, Dr. Schultz.
How are you?
All right, very good. My name is Antonio. I'm from Buckeye. I took my PhD at Ohio State University, and this work is all of that stuff. I mean, we worked with ferromagnetic minerals, trying to characterize them, to quantify them in soils. About 20 years after that, we have done some sampling in the country, and now we think we should build up a little bit more on our system, classification system in soil science. I mean, this might apply to your system too.
I am from Maringá. Maringá is a 400,000 city south of Brazil. Paraná state is a very small state. We are like 200,000 square kilometers, but we produce 20% of the whole country crops, like soybeans and corn. One of our successes is due to our soils. I mean, you have very good soils developed on basalts, very rich and very plain and easy to use machineries and to cultivate the whole year. So we have like 2.5 crops during the year. It's kind of different. These soils, they have one aspect, is that they have a lot of ferromagnetic minerals. I mean, the most important mineral is not the iron salts. The most important mineral is kaolinite. But kaolinite is kind of a diluted mineral. It dilutes the whole behavior of the soil because it has almost no specific surface area, no activity. I mean, like the CEC is very low, and there is almost no annual exchange capacity, so it dilutes the behavior of the system. And the iron oxides actually are a very important one. In the Brazilian system of classification, it's still it's not finished. We are still working on the family level. We don't have it finished so far. And the mineralogical classes are still those ones that we have in the American system and plus the ones we have in the European system of soil classification. And there is actually not much done in terms of the iron oxide, only goethitic or imatic classes. Why that? Because these are the dominant iron oxides in the country, but not in our region. We did a little bit of work. We collected like 300 samples across the state. It's a small state, but we end up collecting them. This work was done by a mining company, and we used the air dry fine art to measure the mass specific magnetic susceptibility and the frequency dependent magnetic susceptibility. This one, the mass specific, measures, quantifies actually the amount of megamite and magnetite, independent if it is on the in which fraction it is, sand, silt, or clay fraction. It doesn't matter. It will measure the whole system. But the frequency dependent magnetic susceptibility, we can actually separate the ferromagnetic minerals that are on the sand and silt fractions, usually magnetite, from the ones that are on, I mean, from the one this it is actually in the clay fraction. It is magnetite. So we can actually separate the magnetite, it's a primary mineral, from the secondary mineral that is magnetite. But both of them are really magnetic. We ran total iron contents and micronutrients. Why we did that? Because we actually think that in the soils, we don't have much dependence on the application of fertilizers, micronutrient fertilizers. These soils are so rich that we don't use it. And we have some very high corn and soybean production in the state. So in the other parts of the state, we have applied at least copper and zinc in the soil to achieve very high yields, but not in basalt soils. So we try to correlate the presence of these minerals, I mean like the magnetite and magnetite, to the content of the micronutrients. Not all of them, but some of them. Okay, we are
here in South America. The soils we are talking about are in the what we call the Paraná River Basin, in the south of the country. But it crosses
not only in Brazil, but goes south to Uruguay, Paraguay, and Argentina. It's a 2 million square basin. It's a very large
basin in terms of soils and countries.
Here is, we have the basalt. This is a 2 million square basin. This is south of Brazil. Paraná is right here. But we have soils, similar soils in Paraguay, in Argentina, and Uruguay. So what we do here, it covers a very large area in terms of crop production and environmental classes. Besides the basalt, over the basalt there is a sandstone and some other sedimentary rocks, and this is the Precambrian, the basement rocks. So we actually have most of the rocks that we have in the country. So our soils, they might represent a very larger portion of soils from Brazil.
We only don't have one class. This is the deal. There is one rock in Minas Gerais. It's my English is not going to be that good now. It's evaporite. It's a metamorphic rock. Has like 60% iron. And the soils, they are actually 50 to 60 to 70% iron oxide. So it's a Dr. Schultz might know that place. Mm-hmm. You've been there, huh?
Yep, there's a town by that name too.
Yes. So that's the only one that we don't have in the state of Paraná. Our soils, the basalt soils, they have up to like 36% iron oxide. 36% is a lot, large amount. But those soils, they have 60% of iron oxides in the whole air dry fine art. We don't have those kind of soils. That's the only ones we don't have it. In terms of mineralogy, I mean, if you look at the country, it doesn't mean that we have more goethite in the Amazon basin than the other minerals. The one mineral that is mostly common in the country is kaolinite. The secondary in the Amazon basin is going to be goethite. In Pantanal and down south in Rio Grande do Sul, we have the 2-to-1 clay minerals. And most of the country are hematitic and goethitic soils, but like what? 1%, 2%, 4%, 10%, 12%. Only here in the Paraná River Basin, where we have the basalts, we have hematite plus magmite. And this is the second aspect. We don't have any soil where magmite is higher than the other iron oxide. It's a secondary mineral after hematite. Okay? So, a little bit more detail on the geologic map. This is the sedimentary rock. This is sandstone. Here is basalt. Here we have sedimentary rocks. And here we have magmatic and sedimentary rocks in what we call the first plateau, second plateau, and third plateau. In the state. We sampled all over the state, 307 samples. Not in the A horizon, on the B horizon. So we are talking about oxysols, nitosols, all kinds of B horizons, have soils that have been worked by farmers or any kind of pollution that would be there. So we actually end up sampling the B horizons
in the state.
We, with the air dry fine earth, we are actually able, with this instrument, this is a Barkington equipment, to measure in two frequencies. You have low frequency and high frequency. The sample goes over here, it's at 10 cubic centimeter. It will only measure the magnetic minerals. You can have water, you can have any kind of material, it won't measure them. Just the magmite and magnetite. We are now using some surface probes in cities to measure what is going to happen in the cities. We have some mapping, but I'm not going to show these results. So our values, okay.
The red, the values that we measure are between 10, almost no iron oxide at all, neither magnetic, ferromagnetic, to 20,000. 20,000 is a very large measurement. Usually we measure 20,000, 10 to the minus 8 meter cubes per kilogram in the sand and silt fractions, just to see the range. But in the soils, actually we end up measuring up to 8,000 in the air dry fine earth. And with the frequency independent, we actually measure most of the samples are a mixture of magnetite and magmite.
Magnetite in the steel 10 cent fraction, magmite in the clay fraction. So this is the map of the state. Here is where we have most of the basalts.
we can see that where we have sedimentary rocks, magmatic and metamorphic rocks, even sedimentary rocks, the values of the magnetic susceptibility are very low. Here we have mixture of that. And in the sandstone, also very low. In the basalt, we have some measurements, 8,000 up to 10,000, 11,000, 10 to the minus 8 meter cubes per kilogram. So what we think that we can separate at least two classes. The ones that have no magnemite or magnetite, and the ones that have some mixture, to the ones that have a lot of
magnemite and magnetite.
And these numbers were correlated to the total iron. Here we have an exponential regression. So it means that after 10%, this goes really up. It increases fast, really fast, the amount of magnetic susceptibility.
And this iron content is also, this is the frequency dependence.
We see that most of the numbers are not, it's more than 2. Most of them are higher than 6. Where we have some magnemite contribution to the values
in the whole state.
We have very nice correlations between the total iron content and zinc content, independent of the amount of zinc or iron content. It's a very nice correlation,
linear correlation.
Here we would have an exponential again correlation with the copper content. So basalt soil, where you have most of the iron oxides, doesn't the values of zinc copper contribution are not that different, but we do have a linear regression
or exponential regression. Here's copper, and manganese.
So our conclusions that we can propose, we're going to propose to the National Committee in Soils, the inclusion of the ferrimagnetic soils in our system. These soils would have like more than 5% ferrimagnetic minerals in either magnetite or magnemite, or a greater value of the magnetic susceptibility than 3,000 10 to the minus 8 meter cubes per kilogram.
I have to acknowledge my university, CNPq, and the Oracle Foundation for bringing me here.
Sorry, the English is not that good.
Thank you.
Yes. So you said that a mining company did the sampling for you?
Yeah.
I was curious if the magnemite is related to any ore development, and that's why they're interested, and what elements of the ore?
Well, we were busy with the elements that we have interest in a ROM, but they end up doing some ore measurements, but I'm not sure I have in mind what you're looking for.
Sure.
But if you want and can talk to me by email, I can send you the address of the person, because they send these samples to China and Canada to run fluorescence in those samples. So they have the ores,
sure.
Gold and everything else. They have those numbers. I didn't work with them. But if you want, I can send an email and you contact the guy. He's very nice. He's very, very fun. Yes.
Maybe I missed it, but what is the practical significance of these when you start doing agriculture or crop?
You see, thank you for the question. I mean, in the state, agriculture is very strong. So we can actually separate those soils that we won't need any further fertilization with micronutrients than the ones that they do have to think about it, especially copper, zinc. Because copper, zinc in the sandstone soils, they have to use it. Right? They have a very nice reserve of nutrients, micronutrients. Okay? Okay.